something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Just pandering to black people.
Is it working?
I'm surprised she didn't say watermelon. Just go all the way. You know, this stuff is disgusting.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We don't have much of a race anymore, based on what I'm seeing on television. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I call on you, as JFK did in the 60s and as Reagan did in the 80s, to chart a new American journey forward. America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The race for the Democratic nomination is in the home stretch, and victory is in sight.
House Republicans are trying to dust up this email pseudo controversy.
So how do you fight that?
Well, because I think this election will be about trust. They cannot trust the Republican Party to fight for them. So that I hope that's what this election is about, and Hillary will win that contest overwhelmingly.
Who do you love? Howie Carr.
When a nominee gets to 1,237, he will actually be the candidate. If he doesn't, there'll be a second ballot. And I'm increasingly optimistic that there actually may be a second ballot.
Do you think that one of the three remaining Republicans will be the Republican nominee, or is there a chance that an outsider will come in at the convention?
That'll be up to the delegates.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
1-800-500-4242. 1-800-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you would like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon, it is, of course, April 20th, 420. Get it, dude? It's like totally a day to talk about hemp, man. George Washington, you know, like he made the uniforms for the, like, the army, what did they call it, man? The army during the, like, Civil War, man, you know? Anyway, we'll talk about marijuana a little bit later in the show. And if you haven't heard, as Jay from Chelsea puts it, Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, has been sent to the back of the bus. They're the fundamental transformation of America. Now they're taking a great American off the $20 bill and replacing him with Harriet Tubman.
Also a great American.
But not a president of the United States, a distinguished Democrat, the man who avenged the massacre of white settlers at Fort Mim in Alabama, with the Battle of Horseshoe Bend, in which he wiped out the entire Creek Nation by burning down their fortifications, driving them into the river, and then where they were all picked off as they tried to swim to safety by his Tennessee militia. This is the guy who also wiped out the British invasion force in New Orleans 2 weeks after the end of the War of 1812.
Would you like to hear a little bit of the Battle of New Orleans?
I sure would, by Johnny Horton, second husband of Mrs. Hank Williams. Well, in 1814,
we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a
town called New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We fired our smoker, they even got it running down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. I'm getting a little, you know, the lines. They powdered the gators behind when they ran out, when the cannons overloaded. They killed General Pakenham too. I believe he was the Duke of Wellington's in-law in some way. He was no Duke of Wellington, thank goodness, because they had 8,000 in the expeditionary force, and they killed like 2,000 of them and lost like two Americans. He was a great president, and he was born in. Maybe he was born in Union County, North Carolina. They don't know where he was born on the North Carolina-South Carolina border, but that's where my mother's people came from, was Union County, North Carolina.
not that I'm related to him, but he was also a victim of British colonialism. He was cut. He was cut with a sword by Tarleton's raiders back during the Revolution. Even though he was a little boy, there was a teenager at the time. So he's going to the back of the bus.
He also had a musket ball in his lung that the doctors could never remove.
That's right. He was in a duel against a guy named Dickinson. Dickinson fired first and hit him right above the heart. And then it was Jackson's turn, and he aimed very carefully. And you were supposed to, you know, there was like a 24-second clock for duels. You know, you had to shoot within a certain amount of time, but it was down to the last 2 minutes. The clock was off, so he just really concentrated in. You know, while he was bleeding, it looked like he was going to die, and he just shot Dickinson and killed Dickinson. He also got in a fight once. He got shot by the Benton brothers in Nashville, and one of the Bentons became a senator from Missouri, and they got to be buddies, and they were both on the same team. Benson was the senator, and Jackson was the president when they were setting up the Bank of America. So I'm sorry that Jackson got the bum's rush, but you know it's to be expected in modern day America, and you know of course Alexander Hamilton is not going to be thrown off the $10 bill. I'm assuming that you know I know he wasn't born in America, so I'm assuming he was an illegal alien. That must have been what saved his ass. Otherwise, he'd be out the door too, even though he was a Federalist, which is you know and Jackson was a Democrat.
See, I think if we made the poll question about this, you'd be in the minority. I think most people are okay with Harriet Tubman. She was gun-toting. She was a devout Christian. I'm perfectly fine with Jackson
being taken off. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I say.
Jackson hated the banks, though.
He hated the banks? What's wrong with that?
He hated the centralized bank, and he's on our currency.
I got no problems with that. The Indians used to track him home when he lived in Tennessee.
They should.
And you know what? And one time he turned around and he killed a couple of them because he was tired of being followed by these Indians. Excuse me, these Native Americans. Patrice, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Patrice. Before we get to the poll question, we'll take a call on this. Go ahead, Patrice.
Now, Howie, not one of the founding fathers was born American. And sometimes you are just astonishing. Harriet Tubman, they could have picked Hillary Clinton. Harriet Tubman was a great lady. I mean, you should look into her. She was really admirable and brave. If they were going to pick a woman, they could have picked Nancy Pelosi.
Have you read The Age of Jackson, Patrice, by Arthur Schlesinger Jr.? I mean, I know he's a moon bat and he became a Kennedy worshiper and all that, but it's a great book.
I think you are upset because your mother's people are from down there because you went to school in the South. Seriously, this lady was a hero.
I think Horseshoe Bend is a really underrated battle. We all know about the Battle of New Orleans, but I've looked far and wide for an entire book about the Battle of Horseshoe Bend. The Creeks were led by this half-breed.
I'm not a feminist. I don't think women should be on the currency just because they're women. But when I read that, I was like, man, somebody made a good choice for a woman here. She was great.
781 wants to know, are they going to remove one of the Mount Rushmore faces and make it a female? At 978, any truth to the rumor that Caitlyn Jenner is going on the C-note?
Well, I think, seriously, women are part of the population, and I never defend feminism per se, but this is not the worst thing. They did not choose a bad person.
781 says, can you break 100 in tens, please?
You're something else, Howie. You are something else.
Thanks, Patrice. Thanks for calling in. Here we go, says 978. More history distorted by Howie. You know, what have I distorted? What have I said that's been wrong? I have not made up anything here, and I've not gotten anything wrong. There was actually a story today about Andy Jackson in the Weekly Standard. And I refreshed my recollection. I actually didn't know about the second duel he was in, It wasn't a duel. It was with the Benton brothers. It was a gunfight. They were just popping off shots at one another.
Didn't they call his enemy called into question his wife's honor? Right.
Yeah. She was always called in. That's how Martin Van Buren got to be president. As a matter of fact, I think it was John Calhoun was talking about her honor too, and so all the members of the cabinet quit and all this except for Martin Van Buren, And he stayed with him, and that's why Jackson made him vice president in the second term, and that's how he got to be president in, 1840, I guess it was. He was elected president. Or maybe 1836. Jackson was elected in 1828, and they reelected in 1832. So, anyway, but we've got other matters to get to today. And if you'd like to take part in our daily internet poll question, you can always go to HowieCarshow.com, HowieCarshow.com. Today's poll question is brought to you by Casper Mattress. April is Stress Awareness Month. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Go to Casper.com and use code Howie for $2 towards the purchase of your Casper mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Steve, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the anti-Trump forces in the GOP continue on following his victory in New York?
Will they attempt to deny him the nomination, even though he has a vastly larger number of votes, you mean? Yes, they will. They don't care.
93% say yes.
Yeah, they will. They're
I certainly hope so.
They're without shame. They are without shame. And again, so the tribune of the rhinos is now Ted Cruz, Raphael Ted Cruz Jr., who did not carry a single county in Florida, who did not carry a single county in Virginia, who did not carry a single county in New York, who has only carried one state east of the Mississippi. And by the way, that state doesn't have primaries. It has caucuses. That would be the great state of Maine. That's the only state he's carried. He's doing very well in the places where they cancel the primaries, where the Mitch McConnells of the world are holding sway. But when it gets to a vote, Ted Cruz is winning the selections. Donald Cruz is winning the elections. So that's the way it's going here. We're going to talk about this for a while here this afternoon. 1-800-500-4242. What do you think about what happened last night? No mention of Lion Ted. No mention. Donald Trump was a very conventional politician last night in his acceptance speech, his victory speech. He thanked his family, thanked the voters, and then he was gone. It wasn't an hour long. It was no goofing around or anything like that. And today he didn't take 2 days off like he did when he won, I think, the Florida primary. He's back out on the road today. And Ted Cruz is saying he's very scared. This is Ted Cruz, who got zero delegates last night. Zero delegates. He was smoked by Kasich, by the way. And he said in Hershey, PA today, Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, that Donald Trump is very scared. 1-800-500-4242. We'll take some calls in a moment. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Howie, it's great to see someone standing up against the erasing of our country's great history, says 978. Thank you. Thank you. Another 781. Yep, knew it wouldn't be long before you were calling Ted Raphael. That's his name. That's really what it's all about for you, isn't it? You can't bring yourself to trust a Hispanic. Such a bigot. Really? So you're for Ted Cruz and you're accusing someone else of being bigoted, huh? Okay, all right. Put down the snake.
I was just waiting to know how long
put
the snake
put down the
hurt.
Snake. Go down to the river and baptize yourself. Roll some holies. Be a holy roller. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
So now we're going to make fun of Ted Cruz's faith?
No, I'm just saying he's got a lot of support. I mean, his father is out there going around trying to stir up the evangelicals. And by the way, it's not working. Trump again won with the evangelicals again in New York, just like he won all through the South. The only place Cruz can seem to win is in the mountain states And in Texas, which, by the way, he got 44%, and Cruz got Cruz got 44% in his home state, and Trump got 60% in his home state, and they're all going, and all the Cruz Kool-Aid drinkers are going, it's just his home state. It's just his home state.
I will agree, as much as I hate to say it out loud, I do agree. The evangelicals have clearly given up on the social issues. It's really, conservatism now really exists in terms of you either support fiscal conservatism or you don't. The social issues are off the table. That's dead and over with. That seems to me, that's why the evangelicals have deserted Cruz. He tried to tap into that socially conservative base, and there was nothing there to get. But I will say, Howie, it's not very encouraging to me that the front runner of the Republican Party, Donald Trump, does so well in the state of New York.
It's his home state, Tom.
I understand, but he was his home state, and they fell in love with him when he was a Democrat.
How about South Carolina? Wait a second.
Republican flag bearer.
What's the most conservative state in the union? South Carolina, Mississippi,
Texas.
I'd say South Carolina and Mississippi, and he won both of those states.
I will. If you're going to throw out South Carolina, I will offer you Lindsey Graham as a rebuttal.
Well, you know, that's true. That's true. But they do tend to vote very conservatively. They, you know, the thing is, though, Ted Cruz could only get 44% of the vote in his home state. Why was that?
I agree with you there, but I'm just saying.
He can't carry a single county in Florida, Virginia, New York. I mean, these are big bleeping states, Tom.
Well, I agree, and then again, I think that Ted Cruz's big mistake in this election cycle, primary cycle, has been his inability. Well, he overestimated the voter base, in my opinion. He should have come out like Trump did and just tapped into those visceral, immediate, beat your chest topics rather than try to go highbrow and talk about constitutionalism, American values. And, social conservatism. He miscalculated that. I will say this. I've said it many times on your show, and I'll say it again. Barack Obama got elected in 2008 on the premise that the American people aren't very bright, and they have done nothing to prove him wrong. And I think Donald Trump's doing the same thing. Thanks, Howie.
1-800-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
I was wondering, it seemed like you were indicating up here in Maine that some of the Cruz supporters weren't conservative that voted for him. Did I get that wrong?
No. I just said that's the only state. I think he won because it's a caucus state. That's the only thing Cruz can win is caucus states.
I'm just wondering how it's going to all come out. I'm going to the state convention Friday.
Well, I'll see you there.
And I'm not sure how
it's
all going to come out, if we can ever be put back together again.
Oh, I'm sure.
What's your thoughts on
it? I think so. Listen, there've been near breakups before. Look at the Democrats in 68, you know? I mean, the Republicans had a real Donnybrook in 76 with Ford and Reagan, and they get back together. Nothing is beyond repair, at least at this level of politics, I don't think. Thanks for the call, David.
I will say thank you.
I'll see you on Friday. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Thing I think that Trump did is he finally awoke the silent majority that people have talked about,
or the silent minority now. You know, Arthur. I mean, there's an interesting story today, and of all places, National Review. Of course, they're trying to put the knock on. You can stick around. We'll take you back, Arthur. We weren't on long enough. We'll just stay on the line, and we'll have you back when we come back. 1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr. I am going to be at the Maine State Convention on Friday. We're going to be broadcasting all 4 hours from there, so you can get tickets if you want to see it right in the convention center there in Bangor.
They can get their tickets at MaineGOP.com.
MaineGOP.com, and if you're there for in the 6 to 7 hour, Paul LePage will be there as well. And he'll be doing the show with me. He'll be co-hosting in the 6 o'clock hour. So come on down, and hope you'll get tickets to see us there at MaineGOP.com. The tickets are available. 1-800-500-4242. So, again, Mitch McConnell, you know, Steve during the break is saying, well, you know, he's going to lose all the states. Well, I mean, Ted Cruz is not going to be a dynamo candidate, is he? If he can't win the primaries, how is he going to win the general? Other than Texas and Oklahoma, has he won any states bigger than North Dakota? I mean, I'm talking about primaries now. I know what he did in Colorado when his supporters in the state Senate nixed a primary last year. And I know Donald Trump should have been prepared for that. I know that the head of the Cruz group in Maryland, a state senator, is trying to put in his wife on the Trump delegate slate. And, you know, again, the Trump people shouldn't be relying on the Washington Post or the Baltimore Sun to break that story. They should know how to handle it themselves. I understand all that. But, you know, if this is the way Cruz has to win delegates, is by making sure that it's decided in smoke-filled rooms by the Mitch McConnells of the world, do you really think he's going to have a shot?
I think down ballot losses won't be as severe with Cruz as they will with Trump, because every congressional candidate is going to have to be asked, have you endorsed Trump? When are you going to endorse Trump? And then they'll be tied to all the dumb things he said.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you this. He's 9 points behind Hillary right now. This is Donald Trump. And again, we come back to the fact that Ronald Reagan was more than 9 points. He was about 15 to 20 points behind at this point in 1980. Okay, I mean, yeah, it's really ironic that the Cruz people are going, Donald Trump has no rationale other than he's winning. We need somebody who has a core set of beliefs. So now they're losing. They've just been crushed. They're going to be stomped again. They're going to get schlonged in state after state after state next week. And now they're saying, well, look at these polls. What, they're using the Donald Trump argument now. What is it? Do the polls matter or do they not matter? Tell me. I just like a little consistency here. John, you're next. Or Arthur, go ahead. Go back to Arthur. I told Arthur to hold on. Go ahead, Arthur.
Okay, Howie, you know something? Whenever I hear the polls turn around and say that one candidate can't win against another, and who controls these polls, which I've never believed anyway, they're pulling out all the stops, whether it's polls or anything, to keep Trump from being the nominee. Because you know something, this guy has excited people to vote that I haven't seen in the longest time.
Yeah, I think he is. You know, they say, well, you know, he got a lot fewer votes than Hillary did. He got fewer votes than Bernie did. Well, you know, guess what? It was a closed primary, Arthur. It's not like Massachusetts. You had to, if you wanted to vote in New York yesterday, you had to change your registration in October. October. You know,
and six months ago.
They were
shutting people away because they wouldn't allow them to register. They sneak in these rules that people aren't aware of. Remember the jazz that they were pulling here with this other party in Massachusetts.
Yeah. United
Independent
Party.
One thing that
party.
I found very interesting yesterday is here, you know, New York City is predominantly it's probably got the largest concentration of Jewish voters there are, and they went for Hillary. That just amazes me how stupid they are once again when they could have turned around and supported one of their own.
It was very confusing in New York yesterday, Arthur, especially in Brooklyn, you know, when all these people went to the polls of whatever ethnic group, and they realized that they had been, if I can use the word that they always use, purged from the voting rolls. And then who are they going to blame? That right-wing Republican poll tax supporting mayor, Bill de Blasio? Did he purge everybody? No. What happened was they sent out letters and they said, you haven't voted in the last three or four elections, so we'd like to know if you still exist or you still live in Brooklyn. So will you please send back notice that you're still here prepaid envelope that we've provided for you. And none of them bothered to send it back, Arthur. And now they're claiming they've been disenfranchised.
You know, wouldn't it be nice if they applied that same tactics to EBT and welfare vote people in Massachusetts?
Yeah. Well, I you know, the thing is, when they did that, when they tried to get all the EBT recipients registered here, they sent the same thing, the postage paid envelopes. Did you ever get a – when you get your tax bill, Arthur, whatever tax bill it is, excise, auto excise tax, real property, income tax, do they ever send you a prepaid envelope, where you don't have to pay any postage? Because I never have gotten one of those. Only welfare recipients get those,
apparently. The only thing that I ever get, I think it's the census. Is the only thing all those other things, forget about it, unless it's something that's going to advantage that, like it was with the when they sent out registering all the welfare people and they found 20,000 that didn't exist
50,000
but they were still sending the money anyway,
right? Because it was an anecdote, as Governor Patrick said. Thanks for the call, Arthur. By the way, John Kasich is real excited about his big victory in the Manhattan East Side congressional district. It's the East Side and a little bit of Brooklyn and Queens. And everybody forgets this stuff. That used to be the district that was represented in large part by John Lindsay back before he became mayor in 65. Do you know what they call that district? The Silk Stocking District. So Kasich is bragging that he could only carry one district, and it was by like 200 votes. And it was called the Silk Stocking District. So this is his roadmap to victory now. He's going to sweep all the Silk Stocking districts in, I guess, Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Delaware and Maryland. What, you're telling me there aren't any Silk Stocking districts in those states? Oh, I guess he's not going to win, huh? But he sent me out an email. He and Ted Cruz sent me out emails today. I'll read them as we go along here. 1-800-500-4242. This is the Daily Beast. It's John Kasich's turn to accuse Ted Cruz of dirty tricks. A few hours before the polls closed in the Empire State, John Kasich's strategist, John Weaver, tweeted that the Texan is now responsible for misleading robocalls, which falsely claimed that New York's Democrat governor, Andrew Cuomo, had endorsed Kasich. There's no lie to low to be spread by Cruz and crew, tweeted this guy, John Weaver. The Cruz people have denied it. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Howie, how are you today?
Good.
How are you today, Howie?
Good.
Oh, good. Basically, I think if those guys are going to realize this thing's going to be over. I think it'll take another week to do it. But I thought it was Kasich who was appealing to the intelligence of the American voter with notable results.
You know, John, there are parallels for this in American history. Apparently, when Adlai Stevenson was running against Eisenhower one of the times, woman screamed out from the crowd, "All the intelligent people are with you, Governor." And he responded back, "Unfortunately, ma'am, we need a majority." So, you know, whenever you're losing, that, you know, you say it's the stupid people that are voting. Right. I mean, it's one of those subliminal signs that you're losing. Right. Was when you start attacking the electorate.
Well, it's like Cruz is from Texas. I never want to vote for another guy from Texas again for the rest of my life. For one, I lived through Johnson and the two Bushes. So I'll try Trump. And I hope that goes that way.
Thanks for the call, John. 1-800-500-4242. Let's see. 919. Howie, you're getting all excited. It ain't going to be Trump or Cruz. It's going to be your hometown boy, Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is great at giving orders, isn't he? Now he's ordering Kasich to get out of the race. He is. He's saying that if Kasich doesn't get out of the race, it's going to be Trump. So if only he'd been this good at giving orders when he was running for president, you know, when he actually had an army that might have responded to his entreaties or commands, you know, maybe he would be the president of the United States today instead of just a bum, which is what he is, to quote Terry Malloy, Marlon Brando, and On the Waterfront. Let's hear the McConnell thing. McConnell is still like Karl Rove, like Paul Ryano, like Reince Priebus. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, is still dreaming of a brokered convention.
When a nominee gets to 1,237, he will actually be the candidate. If he doesn't, there'll be a second ballot. And about 60% of the delegates who are bound on the first ballot will be free to do whatever they want to on the second ballot. And I'm increasingly optimistic that there actually may be a second ballot.
He's increasingly optimistic. That was on Monday. He was talking to the local Louisville TV station. So yesterday, he's asked about this. He's back in Washington, and according to CNN, we don't have the sound, but I have the statement. What I said somewhat inartfully. What inartful? What was inartful about that? I understood every word he said. There were no ums or uhs. That was not Ted Kennedy, mumbles Menino style. He's obviously thought this thing through very clearly. He knew it was not inartful. What I said somewhat inartfully, he said, is that we'll have a nominee once we get to 1,237 votes. And if that does not happen on the first ballot, there will be another ballot. Oh, may we quote you on that, Mr. Majority Leader? There will be a second ballot, huh? There, no one will go home if there's not a nominee. And I hope that out of this process, no matter when it ends, first, second, third, or additional ballots, we'll have a nominee who will be appealing to the American people and can actually win the election. I did the math last night. Going into the New York primary, Donald Trump had 8.2 million votes. Ted Cruz had 6.3 million votes. After last night, it is now 8.7 million votes for Trump and 6.4 million for Ted Cruz. But Ted Cruz says that that he's the guy. He's the guy. Just like Jeb Bush before him said that he had to lose the primaries to win the general election. Nick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Howie, this is Nick in Houston, Texas. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Nick?
Good.
Has the rain stopped? Yeah, Nick?
It's finally stopping, but, you know, we got a lot of damages. I'm home watching the grandkids today, and that's the reason why I've had the opportunity to call you. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but back while I was a big supporter of Ted Cruz before, you know, Donald Trump even got in the race.
Yeah.
But I along with a lot of people here in Texas, have switched over to Donald Trump as being our main guy.
How come?
And in retrospect, this campaign has caused me to look at it from a couple, caused, I think, a lot of people to look at it from two points of view. You know, Ted Cruz really hasn't done much for the state of Texas while he was a senator. And, you know, you're taking your role saying every knock a boost. Every time, you know, Ted Cruz got a chance to fight the establishment, it got him on the Megyn Kelly show at night. And my belief is that Ted Cruz has been running for president since the day he was sworn in as senator, okay?
And you could say that about at least half of those guys. I think Lindsey Graham, for goodness sake, thinks he should be president, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you know, the thing about Ted Cruz, he comes on as this big, smart guy who's really going to educate everybody. You know, the thing is he voted for the TPP agreement, okay? He voted to fast-track that. The second thing is he voted for the Gang of Eight because he thought that Rubio had a winning issue, and he didn't want to be left out. Now he's backpedaling like crazy. I got to just ask you this. If Ted Cruz becomes a president of the United States, I want you to tell me how many illegal aliens are going to be deported? That's the question I ask.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there'll be any.
I got some story. By the way, I'm going to be on Newsmax tonight on Dennis Michael Lynch's show. I'm becoming a regular on there every week. But you know, he sent some clips, and did you see the story about that they're flying a lot of these illegal aliens back on private jets?
Nick? Yeah, yeah.
They're flying them back on private jets. And before they let them go, it costs like $240 a night to keep them in prison. They keep talking about it's going to cost all $10 billion to build a wall. $10 billion is a bargain compared to how much it's going to cost the United States just in terms of, the end of our culture, let alone the cost of providing welfare for millions upon millions of indolent third worlders.
Yeah, but Howie, listen, before I leave, but on a more practical note, you know, I think that there's so much animosity against both of these guys that it's going to be a tough road for either one of them to haul. And I agree with Pat Buchanan. The best solution, the very best solution, and, you know, Rafael Cruz didn't make it any easier last night, but the very best solution is for these two guys to get together. It really is. You know, if they want to win, if they want to blow Hillary out of the water, yeah. I think that's what's going to happen. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think I heard him say the other day they were asking him on Fox and Friends, you know, which is his basically his home base from the Fox network. They asked him, you know, who would you pick? And he said, I might pick some guy who's lied a lot. I'm pretty sure he said that. I was kind of half listening when he said it. And I took that, to, even though he doesn't use the phrase lying Ted anymore, Nick, I got the feeling I knew who he was talking about. Thanks for the call, and keep listening down in Houston, and I hope you get bailed out of all the flooding. 1-800-500-4242. This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Captain Parker's Clam Chowder. Look for their award-winning chowder at a supermarket near you. If you don't see it, ask the manager. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Let's see here. I'm just looking for some. I'm tired of listening to you and Glenn Beck. What? I haven't told you to put your hand on the radio, have I? Come on. Don't compare me to that. Let's see. It's not a pure democracy. Popular vote is not sure thing, says 813. Well, you know, the thing is, I understand that you have to play by the rules. I get that. But there is the fact that in some of these states, the rules were changed. And in some of the states, they weren't changed to protect Ted Cruz because they don't like Cruz either. I admit that. I've always admitted that. Like in Florida. Why was Florida winner take all? Because they wanted to set it up for Donald Trump to sweep, 67 of the 68 counties, everything but Miami-Dade, where little Marco's from. No, it was to protect all the delegates for Juan Ellis Bush. But he wasn't even in the race by the time they got to Florida because he was so pathetic. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Chris, Howie, how are you?
Good.
Good. We're calling from... South Central Maine.
Yes.
And I wanted to let you know, first off, that I am a ABC's voter.
ABC.
And registered, by the way.
What does that mean, ABC?
ABC's is anybody but Clinton, anybody but Cruz.
Okay.
And I grew up in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. And I think, you know, one of the things that I like about Trump, and I have not decided on Trump.
Well, who'd you vote for? Did you go to the caucuses, Chris?
I'm not because I'm registered independent.
Oh,
and in
okay.
Maine, you can't vote. You can't go to the caucus as an independent.
Boy, a caucus and a closed caucus. That's even better for Cruz. I got to stop you there, Chris. Thanks for the call. I'm Howie Carr.
That you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
To black people.
Is it working?
I'm surprised she didn't say watermelon. Just go all the way. You know, this stuff is disgusting.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We don't have much of a race anymore, based on what I'm seeing on television. Yeah. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I call on you, as JFK did in the 60s and as Reagan did in the 80s, to chart a new American journey forward. America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The race for the Democratic nomination is in the home stretch, and victory is in sight.
House Republicans are trying to dust up this email pseudo controversy.
So how do you fight that?
Well, because actually, I think this election will be about trust. They cannot trust the Republican Party to fight for them. So that I hope that's what this election is about, and Hillary will win that contest overwhelmingly.
Who do you love, Howie Carr?
When a nominee gets to 1,237, he will actually be the candidate. If he doesn't, there'll be a second ballot. And I'm increasingly optimistic that there actually may be a second ballot.
Do you think that one of the three remaining Republicans will be the Republican nominee, or is there a chance that an outsider will come in at the convention?
That'll be up to the delegates.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
1-800-500-4242. I'm standing by my statement that Alexander Hamilton was spared because he's from the islands. You know, if he had shot Burr, the vice president, Aaron Burr, they would have given him a public defender and a Section 8 apartment and five EBT cards. You know that. The Wall Street Journal just tweeted out something funny, though. They said this time Alexander Hamilton dodged the bullet. Get it? Get it? Andrew Jackson, though, did not dodge the bullet this time. He took it right between the eyes, and he's going to be replaced by Harriet Tubman. What did Harriet Tubman ever do after the massacre at Fort Mims? Did she mobilize the Tennessee militia and go down and take the full measure of those savages in the Creek Nation? I don't believe she did.
If she was alive, she was still a slave, so that would have been problematic.
I'm in favor of keeping Andrew Jackson. He's a Democrat, damn it. He's a Democrat. Where's the party loyalty? Somebody texted me last hour, Howie, Andrew Jackson didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left Andrew Jackson. 1-800-500-4242. Today's poll question, if you'd like to take part in it, go to HowieCarshow.com, HowieCarshow.com. Today's poll question is brought to you by Casper Mattress. April is Stress Awareness Month. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Go to Casper.com and use code Howie for $50 toward the purchase of your Casper mattress. Terms and conditions apply. I got a text yesterday from a guy, a New Hampshire guy, 603. He bought used the code to get the $50 off at the Casper mattress for his daughter. He's very happy with it, and she's very happy with it. Glad I could be of service. Steve, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the anti-Trump forces in the GOP continue on following his victory in New York?
Yeah, they will, obviously. Yes.
92%, so it's down a little, say yes, they will continue on.
Cruz is in Hollywood, Florida today. Are they having a delegate stealing party in Florida today?
I hope so.
Why is he in Florida? So he's in Florida, and Donald Trump is in Indianapolis.
Maybe
he's
Jeb
making a speech.
Maybe Jeb has hooked him up with some of those NFL leaders.
That's true. They had when I was down the last time I was down in Florida, Jeb was still in the race, and he was having a big fundraiser in Palm Beach on the island with Woody Johnson from the Jets and. Was Steve Ross, that's his name, I think, Steve Ross from the Dolphins. I've got two emails, they just came in right before the show started. Kasich first. Howard, he's a close friend of mine, you see, Howard. Howard, make no mistake, New York was a big step forward for our campaign. Hey, you got three delegates. Those are the first three delegates he's got in the last month. He's only 25 behind Marco Rubio, who's been out of the race for now over a month, I believe. Trump was always going to win his home state, but we not only walked away with delegates. The Silk Stocking District in Manhattan on the east side, which he won by about 200 votes. Cruz won zero. We also finished a strong second place and proved what we've been saying for a long time. I'm the best. Well, who's this we, if it's I'm? We've been saying for a long time, I'm the best Republican candidate to deny Trump the nomination moving forward and defeat Hillary Clinton. If you agree, chip in 25 or more. No, I don't agree.
I actually got a text from Hillary last night that said, we just won New York. Donate a dollar.
Yeah, I got that one, too. A dollar? Friend, this is from Ted Cruz, above a headline, Politico breaking news, Trump to give campaign over $20 million. Friend, you may have heard, Donald Trump won New York last night, just a period, no exclamation point. As I write you, Politico is breaking the news that Donald Trump has just committed $20 million to his campaign, a move calculated to crush my campaign. He had a ton of money, didn't he? I thought the last time they had FEC reports, he had like $50 million, or his PAC had $50 million. The hell's he worried about $20 million for? A move calculated, he's not worried, that's the answer. This is just a fundraising letter. A move calculated to crush my campaign and wrestle the nomination away from conservative Americans. You have also probably heard that Hillary has also, that's also twice in one sentence, also already raised over $100 million for her campaign. Both Trump and Clinton are used to throwing money around and using it to get whatever they want. Friend, what's more personal, Howard or friend? How about calling me pal?
How about Mr. Carr?
Mr. Carr, like my dog calls me, Mr. Carr. I think I like pal.
I think your dog probably calls you he who bringeth the Kowloons.
Oh, man, that Kowloons was delicious yesterday, by the way. If you have a hankering for fine Chinese food, get thee to Kowloon on Route 1 North in Saugus. It was fantastic. The chicken nuggets particularly were delicious. And the crab rangoon was delicious. Everything was good. Anyway, friend, I'm now in the middle of a big money firestorm with Hillary Clinton on one side and Donald Trump on the other. And then this is in boldface. I'm quite literally fighting for my political life, and your response to this email will determine the success of this campaign and ultimately the direction of our country for years to come, etc. Well, friend, I'm a little bit tapped out today, so I don't think I'm going to be contributing anything.
Have you ever contributed to a presidential candidate?
No. No, I have not.
It's a good rule to live by. You never want to have your name in an FEC database.
No. No, I don't. I've contributed to some anti-tax initiatives in the town of Wellesley.
Yeah, well, that's different. I mean, I think everybody knows your position on taxes.
Right.
And keeping your own money.
Right. And, you know, whenever I get an email saying, can we put up a no tax sign on your yard, because I'm on one of those nice cross streets, you know, that where they're, you know, the city of Boston, by the way, is trying to cut the speed limit again from 30 to 25 because all the people on the cross streets, because there's total gridlock in the city. You know, they don't want to fight the main problem, which is the gridlock. They want to just try to cut the speed limit.
That's better than installing all those horrendous speed bumps.
Yeah, but I mean that wouldn't work. I mean none of this stuff works. My suggestion is to build giant parking garages for everybody, and then give everybody a free parking space, and then you never lose your parking space until you move the car.
Yeah, they're more likely just to ban cars in Boston altogether.
Well, I just say everyone could have a car. They'd be in the parking lot when they want to leave the city for good. They'll just get the car out of the parking garage and leave. That's all. And then otherwise, they could just use Uber for everything, like Grace does. Grace gets a parking space, and she says she leaves it in South Boston for like 2 weeks at a time. Because she won't. I mean, that's what it's coming down to. It's horrible. And this is not going to solve the problem, cutting the speed limit, as if they could get it through the legislature and on Beacon Hill, which they can't. Here's Ted Cruz on April 5th. This is on the Wisconsin radio station. Well, I think any candidate that doesn't have a path to winning, that's the time when you should suspend your campaign. And at this point, Kasich has been mathematically eliminated. According to the Associated Press, so has Cruz today. Now he's back to Cruz on April 5th, which is, what, 2 weeks, just a little over 2 weeks ago. He needs more than 100% of the delegates to be the nominee. That's obviously impossible. You can't get more than 100%. Well, can you get more than 100%, Ted? 1-800-500-4242. Trump Cruz holding dueling events. That's what it says on the boy, it looks like another big crowd for Trump as they're doing the live shot now from the back of the hall. Looks packed. 1-800-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good.
Mr. Jackson, Andy Jackson, has a couple words of advice for Trump. I think it's quite okay.
What's that?
A cabinet member left Washington. His cabinet member to avoid a duel with another cabinet member.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson says, what a wretch. My creed is true. There was never a base man, a brave one. And Trump is not a base man. He's a brave one. And then to his successor, he says, the next president, I say, lay on, temporize not. It is always injurious.
Read that one to me again.
Huh? Say that again?
Read the second one to me again.
The second one, he's to his next, to the next president.
Martin Van Buren.
I say, lay on, temporize not. It is always injurious.
Temporize not. You know,
it
now
is
that
always
you,
injurious.
John, no, now that you mention it, though, last night in that acceptance speech, I got the feeling that Donald Trump was temporizing.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, this guy was beaten across the face because he would not polish an officer's boots.
Right, right, they raised the British. One of the British officers raised the sword to his brother, and he tried to get in front of the sword, and that's where he got the giant cut across his face. Right.
Right, and
across
he was
his skull.
Okay, and he only lost 13 in New Orleans. Only 13 guys. Against 2,000 of Wellington's troops.
Yeah, 2,000 dead. 2,000 of the 8,000. Yeah.
Of course, it was after the war was over, but that's a minor point.
Yeah, I know. You know, he didn't check his email that morning, John.
Yeah.
And he could have, like Bill Clinton didn't check his email, or he wouldn't have lied in the deposition in the Paula Jones case, right? Same thing. That's all. So, communications were slow between Belgium and Louisiana back in those days. Thanks for the call, John. 1-800-500-4242. No one's going to step up and defend, other than a few scattered talk show hosts, no one's going to defend Andy Jackson. Nobody. Just going to, you know, sell him down. He's going to sell him down the river.
Well, he's a slave-owning Indian killer who liked to raise taxes and centralize the federal government.
He wasn't the. He had his good points though too. He did away. He got rid of the Yankee establishment. He beat John Quincy Adams like a redheaded stepchild after the election in 1824 was stolen from him.
I think Jackson and Trump actually have a lot in common though. They're both kind of riding this populist wave to power.
Maybe. I don't think Trump is quite as tough as this old Hickory.
No, there's no question about that. He talks tough, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I don't think I'd pick his side in a bar fight, though. I'll just say that.
No. Andy Jackson, on the other hand, I think I'd pick his side. I'd want to be on his side in just about any kind of struggle that there was.
He's the kind of guy who brings a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah, he brings a cannon to a knife fight, I think. He learned that from Tarleton. The British cavalry officer that was running amok down in North and South Carolina.
Grace says, who cares about the currency debate because who carries cash anymore?
You got a point there, Grace. You do have a point. Certainly nobody I ever stand in line behind anywhere for that matter, whether it's a coffee shop or a supermarket or a bookstore, anywhere. Nobody has cash other than me.
You know, we could get you a customized credit card and put Andrew Jackson on it.
I don't think that would be necessary. I got my pocket is full of Andrew Jacksons as it is, because I still believe in cash. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Howie, I just don't get all the attacks on Cruz. I don't see the point of this. You're talking about a huge segment of the population that Trump needs. And you attack Cruz. You're really attacking conservatives. You're attacking constitutional conservatives. And Trump really hasn't proven that, he claims that he's become one. But
I've noticed a lot more animosity towards Trump from Cruz people than vice versa.
That's more of a reaction.
Who started it?
With Trump attacking Cruz. Because he was born in Canada. This is where I called you about it. I said, Howie, this is a mistake. Maybe not a big mistake, but it's definitely a mistake. And I even said, now you're going to watch. Cruz is going to attack him as not being conservative. And sure enough, he did.
But
I don't know where this gets us.
Why shouldn't he go after him? Do you really think if Cruz had been the nominee that Hillary Clinton wouldn't have gotten some of her surrogates to file all kinds of lawsuits?
I don't think it would have gone anywhere.
But look at who they've appointed to the bench. These people don't care about the law.
I think the bottom line is on both sides, because I have many friends who are huge Bernie and Bernie supporters and Hillary supporters. This election will come down to which side can unify and get a coherent message. And I'm telling you, if Trump just wants to run as a populist nationalist, that's not going to work. I'm not going to vote for him based on that.
You're going to vote for Hillary?
No, I'll just sit it out. I will. No. I mean, look, we had Romney. Voted for Romney. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and vote for Romney. I don't like the guy. I don't think he's a conservative, but I voted for him.
I still don't know what he wants. People say they're going to sit it out, but I never have seen anybody that I know who's like into talk shows, who reads the papers, who's a follower of politics, who's actually sat out a presidential election. I still don't know anybody like that. Thanks for the call, Mike. I got to hold you right there. We got to take a break. We're running long. I'm Howie Carr.
That's right. Howie Carr.
David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how you doing? Basically, I was just thinking about Cruz's comment about America and how she's at her best lying on her back.
Yeah.
Well,
America likes the missionary position, David. That's the way I interpreted that.
There's a quote, or a musical quote, about from the musical Evita, that describes Evita Perón as she's at her best staring at the ceiling, not reaching for the sky. And that flashes me back to, you know, all the other comments that Trump has made about how America has been sold out to, Cuba and
China, Mexico. Yes, we've been robbed. Thanks, David. I'm Howie Carr.
America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat.
Her back on the mat. Okay. He said a lot of strange things. He called Roger Stone a rat, but he said he didn't want to copulate with him. Some of these things, this guy, his Princeton roommate, tweets out a lot of weird stuff about Ted Cruz, and I don't know if any of it's true or not, but Ted Cruz opens himself up to these kinds of stories by saying these kinds of things. Listen to this.
Mr. Stone is a man who has 50 years of dirty tricks behind him. He's a man for whom a term was coined for copulating with a rodent. Well, let me be clear. Donald Trump may be a rat, but I have no desire to copulate.
Okay. I get a feeling he wrote that himself. You know, like the letter to friend? I mean, somebody else wrote that for him. But I think the rat bleeper thing about Roger Stone or America lying on her back, I think he penned those words himself. This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Ken's Place in Scarborough, Maine. Stop by today and have my favorite dish, the world-famous batter-dipped fried clams. They're all great dishes, though. They're all great dishes. And I'll be stopping there for lunch on my way up to Bangor. Or I'll be stopping there before the place opens. But I got to drop off some books for Dave Wilcox at Ken's Place. So there'll be some more autographed books there of killers. And you can order your tickets, by the way, to if you want to see the show on Friday at the main convention at the convention center.
It's a Cross Insurance Center.
Cross Insurance Center in Bangor. You can order the tickets at MaineGOP.com. MaineGOP.com. In the last hour, I'll be joined by Governor Paul LePage. 1-800-500-4242. 42. I'm just looking. People are ripping. I'd rather see Hamilton gone than Jackson. I don't. Why do we have to get rid of any of them? They both had a lot. They both did a lot for the country. Why did we need to change the? Why do we need to change the currency? Other than for reasons of political correctness. Let's see. Jackson and his followers fundamentally formed the modern Democratic Party, pre-socialist communist, morphing away from the prior Jeffersonians and leaders. And his removal of the currency is just part of the liberal agenda. They will topple the rest in time. I agree. I think you're right. This is just the start. 1-800-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show, if you would like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. This is from Washington Times. The threat of Senator Ted Cruz deploying double agent delegates to win a contested Republican convention this summer has Donald Trump supporters in Maryland suspiciously eyeing the state's delegate list and finding potential traitors on the ballot. A top suspect is Joey Lynn Huff, a Trump delegate who was the wife of State Senator Michael Huff, H-O-U-G-H, I guess it's pronounced Huff. Mr. Huff is a Cruz delegate and serves as chairman of the Cruz campaign in Maryland. I'm suspicious of her. Why would you be suspicious of her? She's married to a leader of the Cruz faction in the party and a state legislator, and she's running as a Trump delegate. Why would you be suspicious of her, conservative activist Sue Payne? I and the others are very suspicious about who is representing Trump. He's being ill-served by this group in Maryland. Mr. Trump is expected to win the majority of Maryland's 38 delegates. He leads with 41%, Kasich at 26%, and Cruz at 24% in the Real Clear Politics average. But, again, Cruz is trying to work behind the scenes to get the delegates. Here's another one. This is from Breitbart. Social media posts along with Cruz's campaign website revealed that Senator Ted Cruz supporters in the Colorado Republican Party were responsible for crushing an effort to give Colorado the ability to vote in a state primary. In May of last year, 2015, four Colorado Senate Republicans killed an initiative, quote, to create a presidential primary in 2016, unquote, reported the Denver Post. The four Republicans who voted against the initiative were all Cruz supporters, and all these people, Senators Grantham, Lambert, Woods, and Sonnenberg, are all listed as Cruz supporters and declared members of Cruz's Colorado leadership team. Again, it's all legal, perfectly legal, but it's not doing him much good, is it? How bad was Cruz's night, says the Washington Post? He's losing to Ben Carson in some areas, a guy who hasn't been in the race in weeks. Cruz can still win the nomination on the first convention ballot, mind you. This is the Washington Post. The AP says it's over. But he needs to win about 88.5% of the outstanding delegates, bound or unbound. Ed, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. This is Ed in Oxford. I'm a long time, sometime with you.
Thank you.
Hey, calling to see if you listened to Rush today. He had a story about 140 Republican officials. They weren't elected officials, but just officials that said that if Cruz is the nominee, they'll vote for him, and if not, they'll vote for Hillary.
I didn't see that. No, I didn't. I listened on and off, but I didn't hear that part of it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard that, and I was like, oh, my God. All day I'm racking my brain, like, why would the Republican Party go to that extreme? And I'm thinking, I came to a conclusion that everybody's afraid of losing their jobs.
Right.
If Trump gets in there, and I think he's basically a tidal wave. And if he gets in there, these guys are going to be running against mini Trumps, if you want to call them that, all over the country, and they're going to start losing their jobs.
I don't know about that, Ed. I mean, that's obviously what they think if they're willing to vote for Hillary over Cruz. But I mean, think about the damage that would do to the nation. I mean, I don't know if we can recover from another 4 years of this kind of insanity that's been going on for the last 7.5 years. You know, I mean, that's...
Well, that's due to the elected officials we've got in there now.
I know, that won't
stand up to
them.
They give everything to Obama.
Right.
We've got a, you know, Congress and Senate majority, Republican majority, and it's like executive order, executive order, executive order.
I know, there's more Republicans in the House now than there have been at any time since the 1920s. And this is, and they control most of the state legislatures, they control most of the governorships, and they can't get anything done, or they're afraid to get anything done. They don't want to even try. And it's pitiful, and that's why Donald Trump has risen up. I mean, if the Republican leadership in Washington had done anything, there would be no Donald Trump, you know? But this is a case of nature abhorring a vacuum, you know? Thanks.
Right.
Here we got it. We actually have a cut. This is from a GOP D.C. delegate, Raina Bahara. She's saying she will vote for Hillary. Listen to this. This is what Rush was talking about this morning or this afternoon.
If you don't, you know, like somebody in particular, you may vote for Hillary Clinton.
I've thought about this, Gretchen. To be honest, I think there are probably a great many people who are thinking about this. And I've been called a Democrat. I've been called a Republican in name only. But the truth of the matter is, I know what I'm getting with Clintonian policies. I don't know what I'm getting with Donald Trump.
She's out of her mind,
wow.
Ed. She's out of her mind. You know, she knows what, if you know what you're getting, nothing Donald Trump does could be any worse than Hillary Clinton. I don't care what anybody says.
That's my point, Howie. I mean, what else do we have to lose? I'd rather go with Trump,
right,
4-year term and see what he does. If he does great, well, I think the rest of these guys that are in office now are going to say, oh, my God, my job's in jeopardy.
Thanks for the call, Ed. 1-800-500-4242. I have to tell you this. Try not to, what I'm about to tell you, destroy your faith and the integrity of the hip-hop community. This is a headline from WLS-TV in Chicago. Aspiring rapper killed. That is indeed the headline. Aspiring rapper killed, 4 shot while filming music video at Southside Park. They were filming for a song called Two Techs and a 50 Shot. That would be referring to guns, I do believe. Two Techs and a 50 Shot. The dead man, the dead Ute, or whatever, the dead aspiring rapper, he had a, his name was Damond Dawson. And he went
He's
by
a good boy, a very good boy.
He was really, you know, just goofing around, playing like he could rap a little bit. He wasn't no rapper, said his aunt. He was a newcomer, just trying to say some lyrics. He sometimes went by the nickname of, his rap name was Thugga. T-H-U-G-G-A. Thugga. And, you know, he was very dedicated to his art. We know this because he was shot in Foster Park at 2:20 a.m. So, you know, he was out there at 2:20 a.m., Thugga was, shooting this rap video, Two Techs and a 50 Shot. And then he was going to have to get up and go to work in the morning, right? He's going to have to get up and probably take a bus to the subway to get a job to a factory or a warehouse. Thugga. He won't be down for breakfast. What a tough job this is, being an aspiring rapper. Forget being a cab driver, pizza delivery guy. It's tougher being an aspiring rapper. Somebody asked a question today. Is there a rap hall of fame or an aspiring rapper hall of fame? It's called the graveyard. By the way, in a related development, did you hear about President Obama was meeting with a bunch of rappers last week at the White House? And one of them was a guy named Rick Ross. And they were discussing his My Brother's Keeper initiative, whatever the hell that is. And it was a list, including Rick Ross, of socially conscious and highly influential artists. And right in the middle of the meeting at the White House, this high-level conference with aspiring rappers and hip-hop artists, Rick Ross's ankle bracelet started going off wildly at the White House during the president. It kept beeping through the president's remarks. What's a discussion about keeping kids from crime without a real criminal in the White House, says the New York Post. Ross faces charges of kidnapping and pistol whipping his groundskeeper out on a $2 million bond. He must wear the ankle bracelet. Nor does his art make him a fit initiative for this fit advisor for this initiative. His rap music celebrates date rape, misogyny, beatdowns, and drug dealing. Back in 2013, City Councilman Andy King and other New York Democrats took to the steps of City Hall to denounce Ross over lyrics promoting the use of ecstasy, mollies, for date rape. Last December, Ross released the song Enterprise, which fantasizes about killing a presidential candidate. Quote, assassinate Trump like I'm Zimmerman. Oh, that's very nice. That's good. Vote for Hillary and Richard Ross will be back at the White House. Unless, of course, he's convicted on charges of kidnapping and pistol whipping the groundskeeper.
Nah, he'll get a pardon.
I guess he will get it. Well, I don't know. It's a state rap. You know, unless they can somehow make it a federal rap, that's the only way Obama could give him a pardon. 1-800-500-4242. So this is what you get with the isn't it great to have the Democrats in power? We celebrate diversity. Eileen, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Eileen.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
I just want to let you know I'm a Republican. I've never voted Democrat in my life, and I won't either. But Donald Trump scares me. I mean, everything he said on the campaign trails, I mean, he beat up on women, they're bimbos, they're stupid, and I'm a woman. Why would I want to vote for this man?
Well, I don't think he's called women on the campaign trail bimbos. I'm not going to dispute that he's called women bimbos in the past. But, you know, I mean, hey, Obama called him honey, right? I mean, do you think Hillary Clinton ran the bimbo eruptions unit, Eileen, for her husband? That's what they called it, bimbo eruptions unit.
Believe me, the Democrat Party has been the most destructive force in this country since at least World War II. I wouldn't vote Democrat, but Trump, the things he says, and then he'll say one thing, and then 2 days later, next week, he'll say, well, I never said that. I mean, he says things, and he says he didn't say them, and can I trust this guy? I mean, he's been a Democrat most of his life, and all of a sudden he turned Republican and jumped in the race as a Republican. You sure that he is...
Eileen, I can't vouch for any other human being, you know? I can't look into his heart or his mind. Can you? I mean, but can you look into anybody's?
No, I can't. I'm not saying that either you or I can, but he worries me because I get this feeling that maybe, see, I don't know Trump, but maybe it's possible that maybe he's doing this, he'd become a Republican candidate
He's a Trojan. You're saying you have suspicions that he could be a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, he's going to an awful lot of trouble to be a Trojan horse, Eileen. You know? I mean, if you just put your name on a ballot to drain off some votes so that somebody else can win the election, that's one thing. But to spend like a year of your life running around the country and suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and spending millions of dollars, I don't know. I mean, I could see people saying that in the beginning, but not after all this time. But thanks for the call, Eileen. I appreciate it. 1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
There's only one Howie Carr.
one 800 500 4242 207 says, so Obama likes a rapper who raps about killing Trump. What real motive could he have for inviting this clown to the White House? He's sticking it to the man, 207. You know the answer to that question. You just wanted me to say it.
It's funny, Rick Ross will accept his invitations, but apparently the president of Iran won't.
Oh, that's right. Obama says he wants. Obama sent him some letters saying he wants to meet with him, right?
Yeah.
The better to come up with ways to disguise what's being done with all these billions of dollars that are being unimpounded and sent back to Tehran, right? So the ruler of Iran is so eager to stay on Obama's good side, even though he's only had 5% of the money released. He released all of Obama's letters to the newspapers in Tehran. That's the respect the so-called leader of the so-called free world gets from some tin-pot third-world Muslim terrorist dictator.
Even though he's coming with bags of cash under his arms to meet with Ronnie.
Lord. 781. Howie, tell Eileen that Reagan was a Democrat before he was a Republican. And 781, your response to Eileen was so pathetic. It's like you're against Trump, really bad. Why? I mean, she didn't say anything that wasn't true. Everything she said was true. I pointed out that, you know, he hadn't been calling people bimbos recently anyway. You know?
Well, not like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago with Megyn Kelly.
He didn't call her a bimbo.
On Twitter, he did.
Not 2 or 3 weeks ago. He hasn't called her a bimbo lately. He's been meeting with her after she leaked it to the press. What does she think she is, the president of Iran? Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good.
I'm so sick of these experts coming on and talking about how the polls show that he can't beat Hillary. This is not a nationwide election. He forces her to campaign in states that no Democrat has done before. So yeah. He's changed the entire dynamic of the race. Ted Cruz doesn't. And he, first of all, he freaks me out, so I can't vote for him. But besides that, Trump makes her fight in California, harder in Pennsylvania, New York City, even, you know, places that Reagan would almost make you fight.
I know. That's the other side of the coin. I'm Howie Carr.
That you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
She's pandering to black people.
Is it working?
I'm surprised she didn't say watermelon. Just go all the way. You know, this stuff is disgusting.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We don't have much of a race anymore based on what I'm seeing on television. Yeah. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I call on you, as JFK did in the 60s and as Reagan did in the 80s, to chart a new American journey forward. America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The race for the Democratic nomination is in the home stretch, and victory is in sight.
House Republicans are trying to dust up this email pseudo controversy.
So how do you fight that?
Well, because actually, I think this election will be about trust. They cannot trust the Republican Party to fight for them. So that I hope that's what this election is about, and Hillary will win that contest overwhelmingly.
Who do you love, Howie Carr?
When a nominee gets to 1,237, he will actually be the candidate. If he doesn't, there'll be a second ballot. And I'm increasingly optimistic that there actually may be a second ballot.
Do you think that one of the three remaining Republicans will be the Republican nominee, or is there a chance that an outsider will come in at the convention?
That'll be up to the delegates.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
1-800-500-4242. In the second half of this hour, we're going to be joined by Paul Nellon. If you haven't heard that name, you may have read it somewhere. You just don't remember it. Paul Nellon, he's the businessman out around Janesville, Wisconsin, who's decided to run in the primary against Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, who still wants to run for president. So Paul Nellon has decided to, make it hot for him. And by the way, a lot of people are texting in and saying Donald Trump is not a Trojan horse. I agree. You don't spend this kind of effort and money and time on a race when you're just going to get a payoff in return. That's part of being a Trojan horse or a straw. You get a payoff. You know, they give you a no-show job at the T. Or in the Treasury Department, to name two examples I know of. And thought, what does Donald Trump need a no-show hack job for?
But what is it you always say? What is it you always say about straws?
The best straw is someone who doesn't know he's a straw. But I don't think he's a – I just don't see him as a straw, period, you know. A, Estrada takes votes away from somebody who's got a better chance. I don't see anyone with a better. I don't see that who's he eliminated that had a better chance. Jeb Bush, Scott Walker. I don't know why the hell he's hired Scott Walker's top aide or his top aide in Madison in the state capitol in Wisconsin. I'm talking about the top aide in the presidential campaign. That campaign was a complete cluster bleep, you know. He blew it. He pushed away all the people who had been with him in the legislative recall, in his own recall, in his own election, in his own reelection. He pushed them all away, and he was taking this advance from these Beltway, white shoe wear and lobbyists. And they got him about as much as the barbers got for Rick Perry, which was an early exit from the race. Anyway, 1-800-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, if you'd like to take part in our daily internet poll question, you can always do so. Go to our website, which is HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Today's poll question is brought to you by Casper Mattress. April is Stress Awareness Month. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Go to Casper.com and use code Howie for $50 towards the purchase of your Casper mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Steve, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the anti-Trump forces in the GOP continue on following his victory in New York?
Of course they will.
8% think they're going to pack it in, but 92% say yes, they will continue on.
Okay. And that's why you got to make it hot for them by, running guys like Paul Mellon against the Rhino all-star team there. Time now for the Chump Line. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, is 781-726-7595. That's 781-726-7595. We may or may not play your message at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you every day at this time by Matthews Brothers, whose Maine-made windows are available only at better lumberyards and window professionals. Lumberyards like Cape Cod Lumber, serving builders and remodelers in southeastern Massachusetts since 1958. Cape Cod Lumber, a name you can build on.
Ben & Jerry's has announced a new flavor, the Howie Kowloon Surprise. Yep, the first ever ice cream and Chinese food mix. Free delivery on Tuesday.
How about deep-fried ice cream? That would be the Howie Kowloon. I love deep-fried ice cream. That's one of the good things you can get at state fairs and the Big E and places like that.
You love deep-fried everything.
I do. Deep-fried batter-dipped fried clams, though, that's my favorite deep-fried thing.
Hey, Ollie, I keep hearing Ted Cruz reference JFK and some initiative and mission, and does Ted Cruz want to go to the moon?
Grace asked me what that meant, and I said, I'm not sure, but I think it's a reference to the being on the America with its back on the mat. You know, the moon, well, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. That was my call to let it go through.
Yeah, Howie, my captain. I've fallen on hard times. You think you could spot me a Tubman?
I personally plan to continue to call it a double Sawbuck. That's what, I never called it a Jackson to begin with. It's a double Sawbuck to me and always will be.
You know how they have online pictures of, like, Abraham Lincoln on the Five vandalized to look like somebody else?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the vandalism that's going to happen to the Tubman bill? I see lots of Mr. T's coming.
By the way, it's going to take until the year 2030 to get the new double Sawbucks out. 2030. It's only 14 years. They say it's for security purposes. I think they're going to need to take a lot of really long junkets, though.
Hey, Howie. Ben & Jerry's just came out with an ice cream for you. It's called Blueberry-atric.
I didn't come here to be made sport of, you know? I'm going to be around here when the new double sawbuck comes out. I'm not a geriatric.
Before you go on and on and on about whether Harriet Tubman was a good American or a bad American, could you give us some clue as to who she is? Never even heard of her. She the one that tried to outlaw alcohol? Or the one that sold the flag?
That was Carrie Nation. And what the hell was her name? Betsy Ross. No, this is Harriet Tubman. They named a house for her in the South End. I got to say, that's the first time I ever heard of her. They say, we're going to name this house the Harriet Tubman House. And I went, who the bleep is Harriet Tubman?
I mean, she is the most popular person associated with the Underground Railroad, which smuggled black slaves to Canada.
She escaped slavery to become a leading abolitionist. She led hundreds of enslaved people to freedom along the route of the Underground Railroad. So that's the story. That's the Cliff Notes version on Harriet Tubman. As for Andrew Jackson, well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. I'll leave it at that.
Even that, I used to carry a bottle around in my bag, just like maybe Hillary. Only it wasn't hot sauce; it was a single malt beer.
It was a electric sauce. It was a bottle of my daddy's finest scotch.
Oh, howdy, Governor Kasich, he's on fire, man. I haven't seen excitement like this in a spellbinding situation since Juan Ellis Bush.
As Al McGuire, the late coach of Marquette, used to say, everything is falling into place. This is exactly the way John Kasich plotted it out way back in the fall.
Probably best not read that one on air, but 617 has kind of a funny tweet.
Yes, he is, 617.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Don't you think it's a double standard for you to be making sport of transgender people when you yourself are taking hormones for menopausal women? A bit hypocritical, huh, Harrod and Howie? We're going to be paid.
I don't believe it's a hormone I'm taking, and I'm not taking it anymore at all. They said I didn't need it anymore. The osteoporosis has become a mere condition rather than a disease, so it's going right. Bariatric is in weight loss surgery, you lapband mo. I took it to be geriatric, 603. And even bariatric would be a knock.
So it's a little Freudian slip then.
All I heard was atric.
A little defensive. You doth protest too much.
Perhaps I do.
It's a great thing that Hillary took New York, because after all, New York is one of her home states.
Yes, it is, along with Chicago, where she learned to root for the Cubs, New York, where she was a lifelong Yankees fan in addition to being a lifelong Cubs fan, and then, there was Arkansas, where she was the wife of the attorney general and then the governor, and she lived also briefly 4 years in Massachusetts in the town I live in and now represent on the town meeting.
Hey, Howie, you're a student of history. Maybe you can help me out. During what years was Harriet Tubman president of the United States?
That's a good question. That is a very good question.
Well, what years was Ben Franklin president of the United States?
Well, Ben Franklin, though, was one of the founding fathers. Was Harriet Tubman one of the founding fathers?
No.
Or founding mothers?
No, but I didn't think that was the criteria. I still think she's good on the 20. Devout Christian, gun-toting, fought against unjust laws.
When did you go PC?
Just when you think you've seen it all with Hillary, it gets worse. She's pandering and whipping out the hot sauce from her purse for sparking like a dog and then another coughing jag. How could you pull the lever for this phony, sickly hag?
I like it. I like it. And I like David Clark's quote today on Fox and Friends, the sheriff of Milwaukee, a black guy. Listen to this. It's in the intro, but here it is again.
I'm surprised she didn't say watermelon. Just go all the way. You know, this stuff is dehumanizing. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting.
It's true. 978. Howie, if you were on a double sawbuck, it would be called Harriet Chubman. Yeah, he is. Tune into the Howie Cam, pal, and tell me if I'm Chubman anymore. I'm swimming around here in this large long-sleeve T-shirt I'm wearing.
And you worked hard, damn it, to get fit.
Damn right.
Slaving away at the gym.
Damn right.
Yeah, Howie, I think if Trump wins the nomination, I wouldn't exactly want Jeb as the vice presidential candidate, but his exclamation point, I could get behind that.
The exclamation points are overrated. I forget who the other candidate that Mike Murphy had. He was the guy who ran the Right to Rise super PAC that blew $80 million. He had another candidate with an exclamation point. That's like he's like one of these guys that had one idea and then has been riding it for 20, 30 years. And it isn't even that great of an idea to begin with. An exclamation point. They always used to tell us, you know, keep the exclamation points few and far between. And that was pretty good advice.
I think we need to come out with some Howie exclamation point bumper
no,
stickers.
No, there won't be any need for that. President Obama, according to Jay from Chelsea, has asked, was Harriet Tubman's Underground Railroad also intercontinental? Yes, it was. It ran under the Atlantic Ocean, Jay.
Oh, Howie. I think Ted Cruz has a point. You know, about that there, America being at her best on her back. Don't I know it? Oh, boy.
Mr. President, Monica Lewinsky said you preferred America on its knees.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, is 781-726-7595. We may or may not play your message at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you every day at this time by Matthews Brothers, whose Maine-made windows are available only at Better Lumber Yards and Window Professionals. Lumber yards like Cape Cod Lumber, serving builders and remodelers in southeastern Massachusetts since 1958. Cape Cod Lumber, a name you can build on. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
+1 800 500 4242. More McDonald's news. Now McDonald's is testing bigger and smaller versions of its Big Mac as the world's biggest hamburger chain pushes to revive its business. They're already revived pretty much.
Are they just going to rip off the White Castle sliders?
Well, I guess a Mac Junior. That you could call it a slider. I was thinking more about the Grand Mac.
But I don't need.
I haven't eaten a Big Mac in a long time.
Yeah, but there's still some fat Howie living inside.
I don't need a Grand Mac. I don't get the biggest burger. I can't eat it anymore anyway. But I don't get the biggest burger at Five Guys. I mean, I still get the double burger at Five Guys because it's a better buy. You know,
even if you're going to throw half of it away, you
no,
like
I'm not
going to
throw half of it away. I'm just going to keep eating it for days. I mean, it used to be I would cut it in half and I would eat one half of it now and then the other half tomorrow. Now I cut it into quarters.
See, you're the guy.
I eat it for 4 days.
You're the guy to be on a desert island with because the rationing would be in our favor. You know,
the Grand Mac is now. This is the again. These aren't available everywhere, but they're available in Dallas and Central Ohio. The Grand Mac is made with two beef patties totaling a third of a pound. So what is it? What did it used to be? It will
like
sell
a quarter of a pound, right?
I think it probably was a quarter of a pound. Yeah, so that's not. I mean, that isn't that much of a change. It will sell for $4.89. the Mac Jr. is basically a single layer Big Mac. Well, then it's if it has a single layer, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not a Big Mac. It's a regular crappy 99-cent hamburger.
I think the sauce is the defining characteristic of a Big Mac.
McDonald's says it's easier to eat on the go. Well, if you order a Big Mac, you're trying to eat it while you're driving, you are going to spill special sauce on your tie or your pants. What, Grace?
I think part of the reason they did this was because there was this hack online that said if you order a regular single burger and then you ask for the Mac sauce on the side, you can get it for cheaper than if it was a Big Mac.
Really? But you don't get any lettuce and tomatoes. I don't buy that, Grace. I'm Howie Carr. +1 800-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Dependable Lock Service. Own a gun? You need a Liberty Safe from Dependable Lock Service. Visit libertysafenewhampshire.com. Like a lot of you out there, I am extremely irritated with Paul Ryan. I couldn't believe it when he got smoked by Uncle Joe Biden in the debate, vice presidential debate 4 years ago. He was elected as a conservative, and he just kind of sold out the people in the Republican Party, conservatives of any stripe. He said he didn't want to run for speaker, and then he said, well, I guess he was being urged to run for speaker when Boehner quit, and then he allowed himself to get elected speaker. Now he says he doesn't want to run for president, but, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I still think he wants to run. And in the case of a brokered convention, which Mitch McConnell is still fantasizing about, among others. So anyway, you know, apparently you and I, we weren't the only ones who were kind of put off by Paul Ryan's machinations in the U.S. House. Yeah, home in Wisconsin. There were a number of people that were fed up too, and one of them was named Paul Nellen. And Paul Nellen is a businessman, and Paul Nellen decided to put his money where his mouth is and give a primary challenge to Paul Ryan. And I said, as soon as I heard it, you know, the first they said, there's a guy coming, and we don't have his name yet, but he's going to announce. And I said, oh, man, as soon as I heard that, I said, we're going to get that guy on when he announces. And so that day is here now. We have with us on the line Paul Nellen, and he is Paul Ryan's Republican opponent in the upcoming primary. Paul Nellen, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show, and thanks for running against Paul Ryan.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Howie.
So what put you over the top to make this decision to run against Paul Ryan?
Well, Paul Ryan, I was arguably Paul Ryan's biggest supporter here in the district. I pounded signs, made phone calls. I even bought his book and gave it out to my friends as gifts. That's how invested in Paul Ryan's success I was here. And when about this time last year, Paul Ryan decided to take it upon himself to champion the Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority for President Obama for this just job-killing, district-decimating trade deal known as Trans-Pacific Partnership. I said, that's it. I cannot believe this guy. What in the world is he thinking? And for me, that's when the matrix came down. That's when I realized I had been just buffaloed by Paul Ryan.
So and you must know him, Paul.
Well, I've had the opportunity, like a lot of Wisconsinites have had in the first district, have had the opportunity to. He comes back to the district. I've had the opportunity to shake his hand, and you know, he's looked me in the eye and told me policies he would and wouldn't support on behalf of this district. His message was, do these things, and I'll get Wisconsin working and support what's going on. And we've watched as his votes have been anything but. He's broken every one of those promises to us.
You know, you mentioned TPP. What about the Dreamers? He pushed that bill through as soon as he became speaker that funds all these illegal aliens that Obama has brought into the country, and now the Supreme Court is saying he had no authority to do it. He funded Obamacare in that same budget. All these, not just TPP, but all these horrible, destructive policies he's been behind.
That's right. That's right, Howie. You know, Paul Ryan pushed through, and let's not kid ourselves. Paul Ryan shepherded through this $1.8 trillion in omnibus spending. When Paul Ryan went for this fast track trade promotion authority, I couldn't explain it, and I did some digging into public documents, the FEC documents. Paul Ryan, 83% of Paul Ryan's campaign cash came from outside of our district, and of that 83%, 65% of it came from, in the form of large donations from his special interest buddies in D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia. That explains his stance on immigration. He has funded through the omnibus every dangerous immigration policy. Paul Ryan will tell you, Paul Ryan will say, I support securing the border. And then Paul Ryan funds every dangerous immigration policy. Paul Ryan hasn't funded the wall, but Paul Ryan has a giant fence around his estate in Janesville, Wisconsin. He believes in security. Paul Ryan believes in security for himself.
And Paul Ryan, he has an estate? Paul, he has an estate? I mean, has he ever been in anything? I mean, where did he get his money? He's only been in government, hasn't he, basically, for his entire life?
Yeah, I think his wife comes from wealthy Democrats in Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you'd have to look into that a little bit more. Suffice it to say, Paul Ryan is funded by big banks, big law firms, big insurance companies, the same people that line up with this crony globalist agenda, that's who's funding Paul Ryan. He's not getting his money from the First District. He's getting his money from D.C. largely, and it explains his votes. Paul Ryan's been in Congress since 1998. He was a staffer before that. He's been indoctrinated. He's been grown in a petri dish, essentially, to do what he's doing now.
That's a really good way to put it. Someone just said he also wants to cut benefits for Americans by raising the retirement age on Social Security.
Of course he does.
So he wants to bring in Dreamers who are and make them even the Wall Street Journal is now admitting this, that the Dreamers are all that was put through to give them welfare. Dreamers, illegal aliens are going to get welfare, and he provided the money to give them the welfare, but he wants to cut the Social Security benefits by raising the retirement age of the people he was raised with in the First District of Wisconsin, not to mention every other congressional district in the country.
Yeah, Paul Ryan's never won Janesville. He's never won his own hometown. Never. Not once. And he's not going to win it this year. Because I'm going to take this district. I'm going to work. If the people of the First District will hire me to represent them, they will get true representation. Not what they're getting from Paul Ryan, which is Paul Ryan says one thing, Paul Ryan does a completely different thing in Washington. And, you know, I mean, it's disingenuous at best to say, okay, that $1.8 trillion omnibus bill that went through, that was John Boehner, right? Where's Paul Ryan been this whole time? Oh, that's right. He's been in Congress since 1998.
Well, he was the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. They write the taxes. He's the tax collector for the welfare state, as Bob Dole used to say. You know?
Of course. Howie, take all the money out of your pocket and put it in a pile in front of you. And then figure out how to spend that and call yourself the budget guy. Okay? Paul Ryan has just taken all the money out of our pocket and put it in Washington, and now he's considered himself a budget guru. I mean, what a great – I got car keys in my pocket. Does that make me a race car driver? No, of course it doesn't. It doesn't make me a race car driver any more than it makes you a race car driver. But we've all been sold on Paul Ryan as this budget guru, and he knows how. Hey, he spent more than any other Speaker of the House in the history of Speakers of the House.
Well,
he gave Obama everything Obama wanted and more. The Democrats laughed at Paul Ryan. I mean, it's pathetic in the extreme to imagine that Paul Ryan thinks he's representing the first. I moved to the first district because I'm a businessman. I'm an inventor. I've run businesses all over the United States. I've run businesses all around the globe. I love it here. It is a hub of design and engineering and manufacturing, but it's being choked off. It's being choked off by Paul Ryan and his buddies. This Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership will export our jobs overseas way worse than NAFTA will, but even worse, it allows for the importation of workers to replace us in our own jobs here at home.
Well, look at Intel, Paul. I don't know if there are any jobs in the first district of Wisconsin, but they're one of the biggest users of H-1B visas, and now they just announced yesterday they're getting rid of 12,000 workers.
000.
So they're obviously they're going to replace those 12,000. I don't know how many are they going to be replaced with, but they're going to replace some of them with H-1B visa holders, and it's just screwing the American working man and the American working woman. Paul, what is it? If people want to know more about your campaign, where do they go on the internet?
Well, they could go to a couple places, Howie. I'm glad you asked me that. I'm not a politician, so I sometimes forget to promote this. We bought a giant dump truck that's emblazoned down the side. It says, to get the dirt on Ryan, go to dumppaulryan.com.
Dumppaulryan.com. Okay.
Yeah, go to that website. My website is electneelan.com. Elect, NEHLEN.com. Neelan, electneelan.com. But if your listeners would love to see a giant Tonka truck looking vehicle painted on the side, and in the bed of that truck, Howie, you're gonna love this. There is a giant picture of Paul Ryan's face in the bed of that dump truck. And we've been driving.
Does
it
show up on a Google map?
we're telling people where it is, where it's going to be, where it's been. We're gonna, in fact, Friday we're going to be outside of Abbott Labs. You heard that Abbott Labs is letting go 190 employees. They brought in their replacements. There's a woman by the name of an attorney named Sarah Blackwell. She started up ProtectUSWorkers.org. And we're holding a rally outside there. Michelle Malkin was kind enough to endorse me this week. And Michelle Malkin's going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's in North Chicago, right outside. But if your listeners go to electneelan.com,
they can
look at the address there. Yeah, and we're going to stand up. We're standing up for U.S. workers. And, you know, I'm not hard-hearted. I'm not against people from China or anywhere making a good living. I'm not. But this is exploitation of human beings. These H-1B visas, they can bring an employee into the country, and then they say, well, we're going to deduct from your salary the amount of money that your housing is. Well, they'll tell five people, we're going to deduct $1,000 from each of you per month, and you, all five of you, are going to live in this one-bedroom apartment. That is going on now. Today in this country, that is going on. Can you believe that? That's indentured servitude. Didn't we fight a war over that?
They just announced today they're putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, right? I mean, because she tried to get people out of indentured servitude in the South by running the Underground Railroad. Listen, Paul Ryan has got, we just checked his FEC report, he's got $7.6 million on hand. $7.6 million.
He's headed towards 10. You know what? This is a classic David and Goliath story, Howie. We are building a coalition. People in the first district have been betrayed. The country's been betrayed by people like Paul Ryan who think they know better than we do. We're taking it back. We're taking this district back. This district belongs to the people of this district. And if they'll hire me, I would love to represent them.
Hey, Eric Cantor thought he was made. He had it made. you know, Eric Cantor, and the guy named David Bratt came along. And it, when you were describing Eric Cantor, when you were describing Paul Ryan's campaign contributions, I was thinking of that's what Eric Cantor's contributor list looked like. Exactly the same.
Absolutely. Dave Bratt, Dave Bratt's a hero to me. American patriot right there.
Yeah, and it's not like a speaker hasn't been knocked off. You know, Tom Foley back in 1994, people forget him now, but, a guy came out of nowhere and knocked him off. That was in a different part of the – these are all different parts of the country, too, this happened. Washington State, Virginia, Wisconsin. It can be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, what's the worst thing Brian has done? We haven't got much time left, but what sums up his sordid career for you, Paul Nealon?
You know, I think the worst thing that he's done is come to this district and lie to the faces of the people here. Who, you know, he says, I want to secure the border, and then this $1.8 trillion of omnibus. I mean, he literally reached into everybody's pocket and took their money. And then he funded dangerous immigration policies. The CIA and the FBI has said, we can't vet these people. They've said, we cannot vet these people. They don't have paperwork. Well, who's vetting them? The United Nations. The United Nations is vetting people to come into this country. They're doing a great job, don't you think? I mean, we've only had a few people who've had, you know, their heads cut off and all sorts of crazy drunken accidents with people who shouldn't even be in our country. Kate Steinle, ask Kate Steinle's parents how they feel about illegal aliens being in this country. It's sickening. That's people need to be able to stand up to this open borders agenda, of which Paul Ryan is to the core, to the fiber of his being. He believes in that Gang of Eight bill. He believes in it. He thinks that we should not have borders. America is just an idea. It's no borders. I reject that.
Get a lot of pictures. Paul, can I give you – Paul, I will give you one bit of advice. Get some pictures of his gate, of the gates, the walls around his house.
Yeah, they're already – we've already got them. They've actually already been – they've already been online. But I'll make sure you get a hold of them and you can get them to your listeners.
We'll get them. Okay, so if people want to see about your campaign, they can go to electnealon.com.
Nealon.com.
NEHLEN.com. Electnealon.com. Or they can go to dumppaulryan.com. And I assume you got links there. That'll be easier to spell.
Oh, we do. Yeah,
Paul Nealon, we wish you the best, and we'll talk to you again. What day is the primary?
August 9th.
August 9th, right in the middle of summer. Designed to minimize the turnout, right? Everybody's on vacation. Funny how that works, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in, and I appreciate it, and best of luck to you. I hope you knock him off.
You're a good man. Thanks, sir.
Thanks. That's Paul Nealon. He's running against Paul Ryan, also known as Paul Ryano. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
+1 800 500 4242. I never can figure these guys out, you know, why they want to sell the whole country down the tubes. You know, you live in a nice area like, you know, southern Wisconsin, and, you know, everything is fine, and, you know, everything is going smoothly. It's a stable community. Everyone's got good jobs. And these guys want to bring in unvetted Syrian refugees. They want to they want to bring in people with H-1B visas to take the jobs of Americans at one-fifth the money they were making. And this guy, and he builds a fence, a wall around his community to keep out the flotsam that he's bringing into the district. It's Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead. We don't have time for Mike. Hold on, Mike. We'll get back to you when we come back. 1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Listen to something that you always carry with you.
Hot sauce.
She's better than black people.
Is it working?
I'm surprised she didn't say watermelon. Just go all the way. You know, this stuff is disgusting.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We don't have much of a race anymore, based on what I'm seeing on television. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I call on you, as JFK did in the 60s and as Reagan did in the 80s, to chart a new American journey forward. America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The race for the Democratic nomination is in the home stretch, and victory is in sight.
House Republicans are trying to dust up this email pseudo controversy.
So how do you fight that?
Well, because actually, I think this election will be about trust. They cannot trust the Republican Party to fight for them. So that I hope that's what this election is about, and Hillary will win that contest overwhelmingly.
Who do you love, Howie Carr?
When a nominee gets to 1,237, he will actually be the candidate. If he doesn't, there'll be a second ballot. And I'm increasingly optimistic that there actually may be a second ballot.
Do you think that one of the three remaining Republicans will be the Republican nominee, or is there a chance that an outsider will come in at the convention?
That'll be up to the delegates.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
1-800-500-4242, 1-800-500-4242. What am I doing here? I'm trying to send an email. I'll just send it as it is. That'll do it. All right, sorry about that. Just working on a story that will affect the next topic that we're going to be doing after we talk to Mike here about Paul Ryano and his opponent, Paul Nellon. But anyway, first we're going to do today's poll question. Today's poll question, go to HowieCarrShow.com if you'd like to take part in the poll. It's brought to you by Casper Mattress. April is Stress Awareness Month. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Go to Casper.com and use code Howie for $50 towards the purchase of your Casper mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Steve, what is the question and what are the results thus far?
Will the anti-Trump forces in the GOP continue on following his victory in New York?
Yes, they will.
92% agree with you. They'll find the strength.
Because they want to run Paul Ryan not only for re-election in the 1st District of Wisconsin, but also for President of the United States. Because, again, he is for open borders, unvetted Muslim immigration, H-1B visas to be used to replace American workers, funding the Obamacare fiasco. He's for all the things that they believe in. Steve went to his website. Who were the top contributors to Paul Ryan's campaign?
Well, according to Open Secrets, the Center for Responsive Politics runs that website. Some of the companies whose employees give the most are Blackstone Financial.
Blackstone. Aren't they the one? Oh, that's not
just
the,
a very large financial
that's
firm.
That's not the security. The security.
No, that's Blackwater.
Oh, Blackwater. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Good.
And Berkshire Hathaway and Pfizer. Pfizer employees and Berkshire Hathaway employees have also given him a lot of money.
Okay, Berkshire Hathaway. That's Warren Buffett. They're very good. They're very good for the working people of America.
Yeah, oh, tell yeah. that to Dexter Shue.
Yeah. They started out with one mill in, I think, New Bedford, Massachusetts, and then they have built it up into this conglomerate that owns, among other, they own Dairy Queen. They own a bunch of crappy newspapers down south. One of which I started out on, the Winston-Salem Journal. Warren Buffett still believes in newspapers in monopoly situations. He believes in monopoly situations. Period. Come to think of it, not just in newspapers. Let's take a call from Mike, and then we're going to move on to a new topic. Mike, thanks for holding on. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
The H-1B up here in Maine, TD Bank houses four Indians at a motel called Days Inn across from the main mall, four-door room, and then they have another guy, Unum, flies up from Virginia. He He stays there all week, and they fly him back. Apparently, they can't find somebody in Portland that can do the job for less than it costs to fly this guy back and forth and house him at the Days Inn. It's all over the place. IDEX, Unum, WEX, they all use H-1Bs as much as they can.
Well, they just want to maximize profits, Mike, and they don't care. They don't care about their workers. I mean, I hate to sound like Bernie Sanders, but it's true, isn't it?
And this is why my son has got a finance degree from a good college in Rhode Island, can't get a job in Maine because they don't exist, because they're hired out to other companies, other countries. And they talk about bringing young people back to Maine. They can't bring them back because there's no jobs for them.
Right. And they talk about, well, we have to bring these people in because there's nobody graduating in IT in the U.S. That's bull. That's total BS, Mike. You know that. You know it better than me if your son's involved in this kind of industry, you know?
Well, I see him. He's 26 years old. I see it all day long, every week up here. It's crazy.
What's your son doing?
We can't get rid of these politicians fast enough. Well, he works for a company down in Boston, a tech company. But somebody for him to get a job like that up here, somebody would have to die or retire. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Oh, that's I hope he can get something, Mike. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for hanging on the line. I'm glad Michelle Malkin's getting involved in this too. It would be great. I mean, you talk about a major scalp. This would be bigger than Eric Cantor, because this guy was a national figure. You know, he is a national figure, but he was on a national ticket. Somebody said all Paul Nealon has to do is figure out some way to get Willard Mitt Romney in there campaigning for Paul Ryan, and that should be it. 1-800-500-4242. Again, today is 420. That's the marijuana day, man. Yeah, that's the marijuana time, 420, you know. I forget what you call it, man, like it's an election or something, only you're not running for people. You got pot on the ballot, man. A referendum, that's it. Thanks, dude.
A referendum.
Referendum, man. So it's going to be a big fight this fall here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and it's already starting to heat up. The story I'm working on, I can't tell you much about it, but it would affect the race if we can nail it down. It's a hard one to crack, but we're working on it. And so you have on one side, you have all the pro-marijuana forces. These are the same people who, have got through the bill to have, quote-unquote, medicinal marijuana in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which has turned out to be a disaster. And how many of the dispensaries did Bill Delahunt, the former congressman, have a hand in? I think 3 out of 16. And Barney Frank was involved in one of the dispensaries. He didn't, not at the end, but he was an initial investor, or I don't know if he invested in anything, but he was one of the people that was who was invested in the dispensary that they've opened in Brookline Village. And yesterday he was at some college campus saying, I'm so disappointed in the leading elected officials of the state for being against legalizing pot. And he was referring, of course, to Charlie Baker, the governor, the attorney general, Mara Healey, and the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh. And they're all against this for what I consider obvious reasons. A triumvirate of the most powerful politicians in the state is teaming up in an all-out effort to stop a likely November ballot question that will legalize marijuana for adult recreational use. Like it's not being used for adult recreational use now at these dispensaries that have been set up around the country. The anti-legalization campaign will also include a coalition of doctors, law enforcement officials, and addiction specialists. The push will warn that approving the measure would increase marijuana use among youths. I mean, is there any question about that? I mean, if anyone's old enough to remember pre-lottery days, and I know it was a long time ago now, back in the 70s, but back in the 70s, if you wanted to gamble, you had to know somebody. You had to know a bookie. You know, you had to know some place to go. You had to know where there was a guy sitting on a stool somewhere downtown or at the local veterans club or somewhere like that. You had to know somebody to bet. Now you can go anywhere.
Now, do you ever place bets with a bookie?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I would get football cards if you want to look at it that way. I mean, it was just a runner, basically, selling football cards. I never called up, Joey Tuna and said, I want 100 on the Pats, 6.5. You know, I never did anything like that. I just did cards. But anyway, it's obvious. There's a lot more people with gambling problems now that gambling is easier. Whenever you make something more available, more people are going to abuse it, whether it's a Grande Max or Dairy Queen sold by Berkshire Hathaway or football cards or, in this case, pot.
I think we all know what you're more likely to abuse.
Well, I probably Dairy Queen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Dairy Queen more than Grande Mac. Deep-pocketed national pro-legalization forces have for years been planning this Massachusetts referendum campaign, which would legalize marijuana for those 21 and older and allow retail sales beginning in January 2018. They are expected to gather enough signatures to win placement on. They're going to. If you've got this kind of money, you're just buying the signatures. You just send people out. You offer them, $3, $5, whatever it is. I mean, they could pay $5 easy, and they wouldn't blink, you know. They're going to be on the ballot. And then they will spend these are the people who have a record of spending many millions of dollars to convince voters in states like Colorado to support legalization. Baker, a Republican, said in a statement that he and the two Democrats, that would be Walsh and Healy, are, quote, in bipartisan opposition to legalizing a recreational marketplace for a drug that would put our children at risk and threaten to reverse our progress combating the growing opioid epidemic so this industry can rake in millions in profit. See, this is one of the things I don't understand. How can you say they want this huge crackdown on opioids, and forget the fact that I think there's a much bigger problem with heroin than there is with these synthetic opiates. That's what's killing more people is the heroin, not the opiates. It's opiate addiction, apparently, according to a story in the Weekly Standard that I just read, peaked around 2006. But we don't want to talk about heroin dealers because they tend to be illegal aliens from the Dominican Republic. So we can't say anything bad about them. So at the same time, we're concentrating on Dr. Feelgood for writing a script for 20 oxys to Granny because she just had a hip replacement when he could have kept her to 10. We're going after Dr. Feelgood and Granny rather than the Dominican illegal aliens. But at the same time we're doing that, would they want to legalize pot? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I understand that opioids are more addictive than marijuana, but marijuana is just not good for you. I'm sorry. That's the reality of it. Jim Conroy, a top political aide to Baker, who was a key advisor to the anti-legalization campaign, declined to say whether there are people or entities that have already committed to financially backing the new group, which can raise unlimited sums of cash. I'm not too encouraged by the fact that Jim Conroy is one of the people working on this, because he's the one who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the Republican state committee races and broke even with people that had approximately $1.50 in bottle returns to use in their campaign.
And by the way, I think the Maine guys got their issue with the Secretary of State cleared up, so now it will be going to the referendum.
Oh, so it's going to be on the ballot in Maine too then. So it's going to be Maine and Massachusetts once again move in tandem as they used to do when they were one state. Conroy said the efforts will have the, quote, resources necessary to counter the misleading claims of the would-be billion-dollar recreational marijuana industry and educate the public about the risks children in Massachusetts would face if we became the East Coast capital for commercialized marijuana. I mean, I grew up in this state, and I'm old now, and I can't believe that there are that many people in this state that don't know what marijuana is all about. You know? Hey, come on. It's been with us our entire lives, or at least since we were teenagers. We know what it's about. I think it's just pretty stupid to even to think about legalizing pot myself. We'll get to some calls on this. What do you think? And again, I will stipulate that alcohol is worse than marijuana as an addictive drug, causes more problems, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying, why do we need another drug? Don't we have enough drugs out there? What's next, cocaine? You want to legalize cocaine? Hey, yeah, I'll have a give me a bottle of the 180 proof vodka, and I'll take 2 grams of cocaine. Yeah, sounds good. Do you take EBT cards, pal? Yeah. So what a great idea. Why? And anyone who thinks they're going to stop at marijuana, yeah, come on. 1-800-500-4242. We'll take some calls on this in a moment. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
Oh, dude, like, that's totally Jefferson Starship when they were, like, Jefferson Airplane, maybe? Wow. Heroin is an opiate, Howie. You don't know what you're talking about. I called it a synthetic. I said synthetic opiates, the opioids, the oxys, the Vicodins, the Percocets. I know what I'm talking about. You're a pothead. It's ruining your ears in addition to ruining your mind, apparently. 1-800-500-4242. Max says he needs the voice changer, the witness protection program of the Howie Carr Show. Max, the voice changer is on.
My captain.
Yes.
First time, long time.
Thank you.
Very long time. You know, the unbelievable thing is, I actually had a doctor that wanted me to go to a dispensary. I don't know if you know this, but LePage, just like within the last day or two, just signed an order. 7 days for acute pain, 30 days for chronic pain. I need a hip replacement, kind of like you did.
Yeah.
And you think I could get a doctor to prescribe me medicine just like from a day-to-day, you know, like if I go out on a hike or take a walk on the beach and it's killing me that night, you know, I get up the next morning, I can't even move. They would rather me go to a dispensary and get pot than just prescribe something for me, you know.
What's your complaint, Max? That you can't get the opioids that you want?
No, I don't want opioids. I want a hip replacement.
Right. Well, I tell you what, Max. If you get a hip replacement, you're going to need something for a couple three days. You know, I had the. They're going to give you the synthetic drip.
I've been living with this for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and let me just tell you this. I really like your commercial about the cupcake.
Yeah.
Stay away from Love Cupcakes in Portland. They suck.
Thanks. Thank you, Max. 1-800-500-4242. I don't know about that, but Wicked Good Cupcakes are great. They're fantastic. We'll take some more calls when we come back. 1-800-500-4242. Doctors give out painkillers because insurance companies refuse to pay for actual treatment or even MRIs unless you're on welfare. Yeah, Obama's talked about giving people blue pills and sending them home. I'm Howie Carr. That's a different kind of thing to get hooked on. Hookers. Going to ask Elliot Spitzer about that, Klan number 9. This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by the Car Guys. Do what I did and what Grace did and call the Car Guys to get a great used car. Call their new number, 800-300-4600, 800-300-4600. Yeah, I understand that people get hooked on opioids and then they move to heroin. But again, I think that the vast majority of people who use opioids don't get hooked, and it relieves their pain at a certain point in their lives. And So why is it being made tougher to get for everybody? I mean, we tried this with Prohibition, didn't we? You know, because a few people, a relative few people, had problems with alcohol. We decided to outlaw it for everybody. It didn't work out that well. In this case, I just don't think that with all the drugs we have already, and the fact that, let's be honest, medicinal marijuana is recreational marijuana for the most part. I mean, you can tell me about you got a prescription for your pain and all this, and I'm sure that some people did. And maybe it's better to smoke it in some cases rather than take a pill with concentrated THC, which is the active ingredient, if you didn't know it, in marijuana. But do we really need to make it this available? Is it going to be good or bad? And you know what? Everybody's going to say, Howie, you want freedom to go to Kowloon. Someone actually points that out. You want freedom to have Kowloons every Tuesday, and yet you want to deny me the right to have something? Here's the thing. Me eating Kowloons is not going to make me more – it's not going to dumb me down, and it's not going to make me more likely to go on welfare. I mean, I don't care what you say. I know marijuana, and it makes you dumber, and it makes you more likely to end up a worthless couch potato turd who's going to be charging all your expenses to me.
I mean, if you got up to like 350 pounds because you were eating so much Kowloons, that would cut into your work ethic.
No. I was up close to 280 and eating Kowloons, and I was still working pretty damn hard.
You're not a construction worker.
No, it's tough, though, what I do. It's tough. It's brutal. It's hard labor. It's the toughest thing I've done since I was captain of the varsity bridge team at Deerfield Academy.
I have oft seen you work up a sweat because you're working so hard.
I am. I just had to go. Speaking of addictions, I just had to go into the kitchen and get some more chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream that just happened to be in here today from Friendly's Ice Cream. Delish, Friendly's. Delish. I'm addicted. I admit it. And the you know what? If it wasn't available, I wouldn't be eating it. But it was available right in there, so I ate it. Same thing with pot. Same thing with pot for other people.
So if there were just pot brownies in the kitchen, you would eat it just because it was available?
Nah, I probably wouldn't be eating pot brownies. That would slow me down. So if the show's not going well, the minutes and the seconds drag on. Do you know how much the minutes and the seconds would drag on if I was stoned? And do you know how long it used to take me to drive from Massachusetts to North Carolina when I was in college? It seemed like it took me years. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
By the way, Howie, we're gonna have to tweet out the picture of you as Bob Marley.
Okay, that's fine with me. I'm happy with that. That's the worst case of a 5 o'clock shadow I've had since I used to be on Channel 7, and the news director would scream at me every night when I came back from the State House. I told you to shave. I don't care if you shave 2 hours at 3 o'clock. You shave at 5:30 before you go on the damn air with that beard. It wasn't even that bad. It wasn't that heavy a beard. It was just dark, and I had light skin. You know, it drove him nuts. Drove me out of the TV industry. One of the many things that did. Go ahead, Paul.
Now, Howie, there are some legit medical purposes. A lot of people are allergic to being bored.
There you go, Paul. A lot of people are allergic to eating something that doesn't really taste better when you're stoned, right? I mean, think of how much better this ice cream would have just tasted if I'd have been stoned out of my mind, right?
Now, Howie, let me tell you, though, in all seriousness, I am probably going to vote in favor of it. Because the way I see it, don't stone me for saying this. I am I'm a very conservative Democrat. I'm a Trump Democrat. I was a Reagan Democrat before that. I did not vote for Obama. I held my nose and voted for Romney. I'm anti illegal immigration. I'm pro entitlement reform. I'm anti welfare. But I just don't really care a whole lot about social issues. I think there's so much more on the side.
Understand. When you say social issues, I understand what you mean, but I don't think this is a social issue. I think this is going to produce even more layabouts, Paul.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. But it seems like every other year they're talking about raising the sales tax or playing with the income tax or raising the gas tax.
Well, then you're really crazy. If you really think that they're going to use this money wisely and not try to put, let's go back to alcohol, to put a sales tax on the excise tax on alcohol, that'll never slow them down, Paul. This is just another way to piss money down a drain.
Howie, there's a 99% chance that it's going to go to fund a grant for transgender African underwater basket weaving. I'm
right,
well aware
exactly. Yes.
But, you know, it's, they're going to do that anyway, and I really, it might be able to stem the tide of the next tax hike that gets talked about. And I feel like for 80, 90% of the people that are going to be, you know, worthless potheads as a result of this, already are anyway. I would just at least like to see the revenue stream, the tip of the iceberg.
Like I said, though, Paul, I'm telling you, when you make something available, it's the problem is going to get worse. Whatever you make available, it's going to get worse. Hey, look, there was no heroin problem till there was this little tiny footnote in, I think, the Journal of New England Medicine or JAMA, or whatever they call it. And it said, you know, it's not so bad for doctors to prescribe these opioids in small doses. And this was in like the late 70s, early 80s, and all the doctors suddenly decided to start prescribing it. And look at the problem; it's now out of control.
I don't think that's the only correlation, though, Howie. Around that same time, we also started to greatly increase our immigration from Central America, which I think is as or more responsible than that.
I got into that, you know, that you're not supposed to mention that it's Dominicans mainly that are selling the heroin here in New England.
You mean Hyannis Man and Revere Man.
And Lawrence Man, yes. And he's he's living in an apartment. They never say what, you know, it's a Section 8 apartment, you know. And God forbid you ever ask how many EBT cards they have. You know, you might as well identify yourself as the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan when you call up looking the DA looking for that. Thanks for the call, Paul. Kate, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi, Kate. Howie, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hi.
Just wanted to tell you that I graduated undergrad several years ago, summa cum laude, did a great job. I got a job after that, had 4 promotions in 2 years, went into management. I'm getting my MBA right now. I have 3.9 GPA.
And I'll bet you're a big pothead. That's what you're going to tell me. You're a big pothead.
Yep, and I'm a homeowner, and I'm a taxpayer, and I'm conservative, and all of those things. And who are you or the government to tell me that at the end of the week, getting screwed over by working my butt off, paying my taxes, I can't go home, put on some Pink Floyd, and enjoy some, you know, snacks peacefully in my home.
You know what, Kate? I'm not telling you you can't do that. No, do you know anyone who's ever been to jail or prison for smoking pot? You
don't know them personally, but certainly people have been.
Well, come on. Yeah, like in the 70s in Texas, you know? But not here in Massachusetts.
Right,
not in... They're big time dealers if they're going to jail, Kate. Nobody like you is going to jail for. I don't even think you get arrested. What do you have to be afraid of? You have to be afraid like an illegal alien has to live in the shadows. What about the Hemp Fest every September on the Boston Common? These kids come in from the suburbs. They're smoking on the trains coming in. The conductors don't do anything. The cops don't do anything. Nobody does it. The TV cameras come and record them speechlessly stoned, and nothing happens to them. Kate, you're raising a boogeyman that doesn't exist here.
I have to fear being a criminal.
Oh, come on! It's not true. That's not true. You could go. You could go. You want me to get you the name of Dr. Feelgood, and he'll give you a prescription. All you got to do is tell Dr. Feelgood, you'd be an outlaw. You'd have a prescription. I'll get you a prescription, Kate, if you want it.
That'd be great, Howie. Thank you.
I'll get you. I'm serious. Give your phone number to Grace, and I'll have you the name of a Dr. Feelgood and a phone number tomorrow. Okay. I'm serious. I'll get that for her. If she graduated summa cum laude, what does she need me to be getting her Dr. Feelgood? I'm sure there's give me her number. She didn't want it. There you go.
The prices at the dispensary are probably higher than her hookup.
I don't know. I am Dr. Feelgood here. I'm trying to help people out. You have a headache? Dr. Feelgood is here to help you.
I don't appreciate you drawing me into this. Now all of a sudden I'm giving out Dr. Feelgood numbers. I don't think my parents would be happy about this.
I just need to get her number, and I'll call her and give her Dr. Feelgood's number. You don't need to worry about Dr. Feelgood. I'll handle him. I'm his escrow agent in this matter. 1-800-500-4242. Don, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, good afternoon, Howie.
Hi.
Interesting topic. There's two sides to this coin. The first one, we're going to punish some poor guy with a broken hip that for the rest of his life is in agony, and he can't get a painkiller.
Right.
Unless he personally knows a doctor who will do him a favor.
Right.
The other side of that is you can't tell me that pot doesn't prevent anybody who uses it on a regular basis from reaching their full potential. They may be able to perform at a certain level, but they'll never reach the full potential that they had. And that impacts our society, whether people want to admit it or not.
You know what, Don? Here's the thing. I don't even care if they don't reach their full potential. If we were living in the old days when that just meant you lived in a furnished room somewhere in a rooming house. But now you're going to get the full Sarniev, right?
Exactly.
You're gonna live at the rate of on welfare as if you were in $70,000-$80,000 a year, and it's all on my dime and your dime. That's where I draw the line.
Howie, let me tell you the other thing. You know, you and I have been around. We've been around the block. We've got friends who have used pot. Probably still use it. Every one of these guys use it on a regular basis. Guys, females. When you start talking, we did a little coke, a little meth. Yeah, I used to do a little meth. If you don't think that's a gateway drug, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
And it's all a group that you get around and say, hey, Howie, you got to try this. This is good. And the next thing you know, you're snorting heroin or something.
Yeah, I just got a text from a guy, 603. He says, I like pot because I can still drive on it, and I can't on booze. And I thought to myself, now there's a guy whose judgment is impaired by the fact that he thinks he's as good a driver when he's stoned as he is when he isn't stoned. That proves my whole point. He doesn't even understand it because he's not as sharp as he used to be before he started dosing himself with THC.
Oh, yeah. They kid themselves. They go through life kidding themselves, and it's... They'll hear nothing.
Yeah.
It's a real shame, and I don't know what the end result is, but we don't need to get exposing more kids.
No, I know. Exactly. I don't want to throw Kate in jail. I don't want to throw 603 in jail unless he kills somebody while he's driving stoned. But you know, we don't need to be producing any more potheads because I have to pay for it and you have to pay for it. That's why.
Howie 617 says, I'll take Dr. Feelgood's number. Text me back, dude.
Yeah, call Grace and give me your number and I'll deal with it later. I can't believe people don't know how to find Dr. Feelgood. You should be able to find Dr. Feelgood. You should be able to find a bookie. You should be able to not a hitman. There are no more hitmen out there. But you could find people who can you could find someone who can burn your car for sure.
When I was walking on Venice Beach in California last year, you walk down that strip and probably every 25 yards, there's a little shop there. $40 medical marijuana consultation. Yeah. Do you think any of them get turned down?
Yeah. You know what, 617, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Why don't you just Google in MA pot dispensary? Get a phone number of the pot dispensary nearest you and call them up and ask them if they've got any recommendations for Dr. Feelgood. And I guarantee you they will. Or they will direct, maybe they can't do it directly themselves, but they will direct you to a different website where you will be able to find someone who will have great empathy for the pain and suffering that your disability has produced in you. 1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Oh, dude. We will survive, man. We won't remember what we were doing like 2 hours ago, but we'll be having some good munchies. We will survive as long as I got that EBT card. 1-800-500-4242. Some guy says, we the people want our voices heard. You want your voice heard? Okay, here's the voice I want to hear from you. Recite the alphabet backwards, pal, while you're walking a straight line.
And I have to tell the listeners that I did challenge you on reciting it backwards, and you did it successfully.
It's not that hard. If you're stoned, it's a different thing. But if you're not, if you're sober or unstoned, I don't know. Sometimes people are so stoned, I don't even think they could recite it the right way, let alone backwards. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Is this Dr. Feelgood?
Yes. No. Well, no. This is Dr. Feelgood's escrow agent, John.
Howie, 62 years old, smoked pot when I was younger. Anybody that tells you it doesn't make you lazy and stupid is lying to you.
I agree.
Or lying to themselves.
I totally agree, John. And I think these people, for them to keep saying, well, I'm a successful person, all this, I'd like to know maybe you are successful, but how much more successful would you be if you could remember what happened yesterday?
Right. You know? It's like reading a book. Put two people in a room and one of them stoned and ask them the next day what they read. You're focused at the time, but the next day you don't remember any of it.
Do you ever take notes, John, on a book when you were stoned? And you look back at the notes the next day. You know what I mean?
No, I never did that. I have
done that a couple of times, John. And, it's just gibberish. Maybe it would have been gibberish anyway, but I guarantee
you. You just can't handle your bud, dude.
Maybe that's it. But I don't think I'm alone in that. Thanks for the call, John. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie, I got two things for you. First of all, do you think they're going to change the driving laws when it comes to operating under the influence of being stoned? I've been hit by a real drunk driver already. I'm living the side effects of that already.
Yep, Mark, Beaver State Finian sent me an illegal alien last night, ran over a guy going through a crosswalk in Portland, Oregon. And he said he admitted to the cops he was stoned.
I do want something real quick to let you know. I was in the post office last week on the 15th. A very popular day for the blue card in Massachusetts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The guy was trying to mail an envelope stuffed to the gills with cash to the Dominican Republic, and the postal boy finally told him, after he finally got it, you can't mail money anywhere. And, of course, compliments to the blue card.
Of course. How can the guy have figured out how to get a blue card? He's probably an illegal alien, and he can't figure out where the Western Union is.
Yeah, he's trying to send cash, which is against federal law anyway, banking law.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Like they're going to enforce any kind of laws on this guy. I'm Howie Carr.